Blog Talk Radio.
I've been doing some thinking lately, and I know and believe that God still works miracles. Yet I'm so very, very grateful for what some call the simple thing. I just want to take a moment here. This is my prayer. Listen.
I acknowledge that you're in control. There's nothing too hard for you to handle. I believe you can do anything. Your word says so. No limits even come close to your dominion. Oh, oh, oh.
I don't have to see you move a mountain.
I don't need
to see you part the way.
Every day you keep on.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. You are tuning in to the live radio blog talk broadcast of The Word is Right in conjunction with Past Generation, Lost in the Mix, Affected by Sight, hosted by none other than yours truly, evangelist missionary, Dr. Katrina M. Sanders from the Redeemed Fellowship Outreach Ministry, Church of God in Christ, where the founder and the pastor is District Superintendent Pastor Robert R. Sanders II. Top of the morning to you at the 11 o'clock hour. Yes, I am returning back to my blog talk broadcast programs. And I would like to give honor to God first to my husband, District Superintendent Pastor Robert R. Sanders II. And he is at his point, place of destination, of course. And really, truly going to end up, it's a blessing. We've had so much going on, and I've been just pretty much taking in time to do some things this week, kind of relaxing myself ready because we have our last session starting up on Monday coming up. Just letting Pastor Sanders know that I am on the air, if he can, and that way we can be able to go on from there. Oh, my phone has been ringing off the hook for quite a while, and
I've been doing some thinking lately, and I know and believe that God still works miracles. Yet I'm so very, very grateful for what some call the simple thing. I just want to take a moment here.
I had to take a very important call, so I wanted you out of here, Anita Baker. I'm sorry, Anita Wilson. Lord Jesus. Okay, yeah. It's been a long time since I heard Anita Baker, but all these Anitas coming out with all these songs. But listen, my message right now, this topic I want to talk about this morning, is dealing with the wives that are behind a lot of the scandal that men are involved in. One of the things that I've learned when I was studying at Liberty University, marriage and family therapy, that a lot of the women go through so much with men, and so does men go through with women. The problem is that I'm focusing on what the church is doing right now. When we remember, of course, everybody remember that fateful day when our former president, William Jefferson Clinton, was caught up in the Monica Lewinsky scandal, how the church people literally were acting about, oh, he was wrong, he should have done this, he going to go to hell. Well, I never heard President Bill Clinton at the time say that he was a pastor, a bishop, a superintendent, a rabbi, a priest. I didn't hear him say he was a minister. I didn't hear him say he was a father in the Catholic Church. I didn't hear him say any of those things. As a matter of fact, I don't even believe when he was running that the Bible really was the major source of his, you know, campaign. You know, we're going to quote scriptures and we're going to follow the word of God. I don't think any of the presidents, you know, they swear to the Bible to uphold the truth of the country, but to really torch out the word and carry out the word of God, I've never heard them do that. So my thing is, you know, I never heard them say, oh, I'm a believer in the Bible to be infallible and inspired written word of God. I never heard them say that. But the church people started ostracizing a man that was that's a bona fide sinner and his unethical behavior with Monica Lewinsky. And, of course, Monica Lewinsky, she's way out in another country. She's out in Paris, France, the last I followed up on a while ago, because I was on the topic with my classmates, and I happen to be following some things out there about different countries. One of our assignments at AIU was that we had to look up countries that were going through, you know, business, you know, culture experience. You know, have you expanded your company out in France or, you know, Paris, London, you know, Bangkok, you know, those areas. And I happened to be, you know, checking on those things, and I came across her name, and she wrote a book. And she's highly known out there. Many of the people, young people that was born in the 90s don't remember that because they were not here. And a lot of them in the 80s were children in school, so they barely can get a lot of that together. But anyway, Hillary Clinton never got up before the people of the United States and said anything negative about her husband. I'm for sure he got bopped at home because he brought his family open. And so a lot of times when men that are in the ministry get themselves involved or get involved with adultery, other extramarital affairs, that you bring the women into your marriage. You literally bring your problems and what you have been dealing with into your marriage. And then when people start to get, let me tell you something, man, let me help you out. Because a lot of y'all don't be thinking, it's not the brain. I don't know what's going on in your brain. I don't know who's talking to your brain. But I want to share this with you. If you step outside of your marriage, I don't care what your ministerial title is, to mess with a woman or women, and you take them to a hotel, or you take them on a cruise, or you take them to the Casbah, or you take them to Taj Mahal, or the Leaning Tower of Pisa. If the woman don't have a passionate for you in the first place, you got to pay the piper and the price. And what you do is you become to be exposed. The Bible says your sins will find you out. And the thing about it is that Hillary never went before the people. She never made no comments about her husband's behavior. But I'm looking at the Washington Post. And as I'm reading the Washington Post, she responded to the allegations surrounding infidelity in the 40 years of that marriage, which included a sexual harassment lawsuit. And it led to the impeachment by a grand jury of his position because he was untruthful about his relationship with the White House intern, Monica Lewinsky. Clinton had friends that actually spoke on her behalf that say that they have seen her deal with Bill Clinton's conduct way before all of that and the threats encountering them in a steely determination. And one of her friends said, these people are not going to run us over. But when she went into deeply about her relationship with, she didn't get in there and say, my husband suffered this. Men, if you have a problem, you need to seek help, counseling, therapy, clinical psychologists. You have too many of those classes. Every university has social service, psychology, marriage and family counseling, health and wellness. They got degrees. They have people that go to school for that for years to obtain the education to be able to help. See a therapist, a counselor, because when I see stuff being posted about men who are in the ministry and they have these problems and you're not willing to get help, there is a problem. So now when you piss off these women that you are finagling around and you buying her, Saks Fifth Avenue, you're on the boardwalk and everything else, and then you make these women mad, oh, I just can't be with you right now. I need you to hold on just for a little bit. It's going to be over. You're going to be mine, blah, 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 blah. You give these women unsaid promises that you are not going to keep. And what do? They get a video of you in the bed having sex with them. I'm just saying, they're recording you. People are recording folks now. Espionage, all kind of stuff is going on. Men, if you got a problem at home, if you're in the church, I'm not talking about in the world because the world got their own ethics, their own principles, their own standards. I'm talking about in the church. Be real with yourself, but don't drag your wives through all of this pain. Because they got to sit up there and listen to all of this stuff. People calling their house, people sending them emails, people sending special delivery portions of mail, which they got to sign for her to make sure she get it. I mean, come on. This is what you're bringing into your family. Now, the men in the world got their own theory, but some men in the world got more common sense than men in the church, because they ain't going to bring that mess around their house. Those men, if they got marital problems, I promise you, in the world, if the men can't find no help, they say, you know what, you go your way, I go my way, and there ain't nothing to be, there's nothing to be said. And whatever you do after you get divorced, you're on your own. So there's nothing to happen. Those men in the world got more sense than one in the church do. The one in the church, well, I'm going to bring all this mess to my life, I'm going to bring it into my house, and I'm going to be exposed. And then when you're going out seeking, as many of you know, I put a blog out there yesterday on YouTube about somebody stalking me. And now they're stalking my husband. We have an idea who it is. And I'm already in the process of moving on that. So my whole thing is, when you do these things, men, look at what happened. Where are the wives that don't say nothing? But see, the ministry and the Women's Department of Redeemed Fellowship, I have a program called Chronicles, Journey of Women. My job is to help heal these women. I was a victim of domestic violence. Married to a cop for 11 years, cockiness, self-centeredness, and the women left and right. Lipstick on the collar and perfume on the too. And that destroyed my marriage. So the thing about it is that I didn't have anybody to help me to get through this because the people in the church said, oh, well, let us beat you up because you're a dying of the Lord. Really? I'm a dying of the Lord. You got to be kidding me. So my whole thing is, I'm not here to expose anybody, but I'm here to be a cushion ground for the women that need that ear. And I promise you, that ear that you got of mine, it ain't going no further. It belongs to nobody but you and God. But the women are suffering from all of this. This is why these women become depressed. This is why these women get on psych meds and anxiety and stress pills, because some of these men bring stuff, and then some women just dance over the problem, and they want the title, so they'll just dance over the problem. I'm just going to dance over it and let it go away. It will never go away until your butt gets AIDS, HIV, and STD. That's when it's going to go away. But will you still stay? Because when these men have sex with these women, or they're banging boys, as one of the reporters say, booty busters, you with boys, this is what you're doing. This is what you're bringing into your household. to your family, but then you come before God's people and you preaching the house down. The color don't mean nothing if your life is not right. The title don't mean nothing if your life is not right. If the title, the status, the money, the church building, the church denomination, whether you Baptist, Catholic, Lithuanian, Presbyterian, whatever denomination you are, Church of God, Assemblies of God, Church of God of Christ, Church of whatever, and who shot God, if your life ain't right, it don't matter to God. But the women are suffering through these problems. If you all remember a few of us, last year I told you about a book that one of the pastor's wives put out. And when they put the book out, they was telling us all the glory things. But I was looking at this book that I paid $15 for, and guess what I found? I found nothing or a solution to the problem when these women are dealing with stuff. Women, stop killing yourself. If these men are bringing torture in your life, they're being sneaky. They get no YouTube, Facebook, Quackenfloss, Plenty of Fish, Twitter, and everybody else. You know they're bringing this mess in the house. Why are you staying? When that man walks out of your life to go and sleep with another woman and or women and or boys, he already destroyed the marriage. He violated it. Now, on the flip side, if he gets help and he decides that I need help, then you have an obligation or a choice to walk him through it to get him better if you want to do it the right way. But if the man continues to do it and all he does is leave you money on the nightstand and buy you a suit and a coat and a hat and a purse and everything else, and that's what you think you want, do you mean to tell me you can't buy that yourself? You can't do it on your own? Before I even got married to anybody, I was on my own. I knew how to survive. I knew how to survive. Went to school, worked, and I was a single mother. I knew how to survive. I keep it real. I have no gray areas. So the whole thing about it is that when you're dealing with these issues, these women become sick. They have cancer. They end up having stroke, aneurysm, heart attacks. If the man step out and violate the marriage, the Bible says that he basically has given rights. But now men understand it. Think about it. When your penis leads you out that door, understand what comes with that territory. That means that you got to give her everything because what you violated. I believe I got a caller on. I got a couple of callers listening, but I'm going to clue in my husband because we're seeing this happen a little bit too much. What you think, Pastor Sanders?
Well, I just want to, first of all, just thank God for Jesus and thank God for life, health, and strength. More importantly, thank God for you, my wife, my lover, and my friend. You know, just to say that we have, me and you, we have differences of opinion on many areas, but yet it's still, we are still together, and we operate and work together in ministry, and we want our lives and our relationships to be transparent so that people can have healing and have deliverance in their relationship. We both believe that as the Holy Spirit, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one, that we are one as well in the marriage. And I just wanted to add something in this of what you're talking about. I do know of a situation of where a woman was married for 25 years. She is divorced, and the divorce was finalized over, I would say, 3 or 4 years ago. But the thing is, her husband had cheated on her to such an extent that she knew of one child, at least one child, that was born out of his debauchery and dalliances, as well as two abortions. On top of that, she brought on sexually transmitted diseases, he did to her. And There were many questions that she had that was getting through on a divorce, but there were several questions that's in this. And when I look at this, some of these stood out to me, and I think I'm going to bring them up to you, Dr. Katrina, because there are so many women that's in the church, that's in ministry, that stay with their man, stay with their pastor, or stay with their bishop, or their superintendent, or whoever they're married to. And that doesn't matter what denomination you're, Baptist, Church of God, or Christ, Lutheran, Episcopalian, you're still a pastor's wife. And to me, a pastor's wife is very important position. Not really a position in the church, but it's a position in the home. And it takes on a huge significance because there is power. It's the silent power that many of these women carry. And I wonder sometime, you know, what my mother was, you know, what she went through being a first lady herself and a pastor's wife. But this is what I was thinking. You know, I sometime I would say to myself, I don't know why this woman stayed with this man for so long. But really what I was thinking was that he didn't let you stay in it. You chose to stay in it. You chose to stay with this man because you didn't have to stay with this person. The Bible is very clear in giving the reasons why a person should be divorced. I don't have time to go into that, but maybe it needs to be a second blog to talk about this. But I think that Chronicles need to address this issue with the women directly, because there's much healing that needs to take place in this. Because what makes a woman stay in a marriage that's abusive or riddled with adultery? I'm talking about riddled with adultery. This man just could not keep his penis out of a woman, out of different women.
No.
What makes a woman stay in a marriage that's inconvenient, boring, or kind of hard? Now, for the most part, I believe that women should stay in that marriage, because sometimes you can do things to kind of like bring it back, you know. Sometimes, you know, you might get tired. I know sometimes my wife get tired of me because I'm kind of like, you know, Fred Flintstone sometimes, you know. So she might get tired of me or tired of hearing that. But, you know, there are other times where, you know, I sing to her and I can be her little teddy bear. But to stay in a marriage where a man is a serial adulterer or abuser and totally demeans her all the time. This woman mentioned that her ex-husband used to tell her that she should stop waiting on him hand and foot, and that she must like the way that he treated her, being verbally abusive. And since she kept coming back for more, now those words are harsh, cruel words spoken by an abusive, unfaithful jerk, but yet they were the total truth. She should have slapped him up and left him then. This woman had biblical grounds for divorce. The husband was an unrepentant serial cheater, adulterer, and dangerous on top of that, giving her all kinds of diseases, but she still stayed. I don't know what made her stay, but I have my three theories on why women stay when they don't and don't have to and they shouldn't. One is because they may be broken. We don't know if she was abused when she was a child, or she was treated poorly, or if she was verbally abused by her parents or by her father. We don't know, but we do know that something happened. We might be uncomfortable to say that something, that she might have been mistreated by a family member or a sibling or whatever. We don't know. The other one is that they might be stubborn, may not be willing to hear what folks have to say. You got mothers, church mothers, and missionaries in the church that told women, you stay with your husband and you love him all the way through, and you saying something and you're miserable for the rest of your life. Now, some of us stay because we want to truly do what's right and honestly believe that staying is the right thing to do. Divorce is a sin. Not for some of us it is, and for some of us it's not.
Right.
Now then we ask, then you look for help, and then you get patted on the head and sent right back into a relationship. Now, this particular person spoke of going to a pastor for years, begging for wisdom, and after she told him of the multiple things that were going on, she was told to go back home and love her man. Now, this makes you want to throw up and hit the pastor over the head with a number 10 frying pan with his Bible in the middle, inside the frying pan. Because that's, you know, you're going to tell somebody to go right back into something that is abusive verbally, physically, and mentally. Mm-hmm. You know, it's physically abusive when you give a woman repeatedly sexual transmitted diseases.
Yeah, it sure is.
Now, Jesus said some amazing, disturbing things in the name of truth, but I'd be pretty sure that he would have had only to say words of grace and mercy for this sweet woman, and he probably wouldn't have handed her some condoms, metaphorically speaking, and told her to suck it up and go back home. You're going to give her some condoms, suck it up, still sleep with them, and go back home. Just don't let them give you anything anymore. I don't believe he would have did that. And I'm just metaphorically speaking now. Now, the other thing is, we know that things, we might not know really how bad things are, but we know they were hard. They were really hard. So we couldn't see it. We weren't there. We don't know how we could have handled it emotionally. And I don't know what to do. I'm strong enough to handle the brunt of things. I think that I am, that affect our relationship. You know, mostly the thing I have to do is learn to listen sometimes. Sometimes I like to open up my mouth before I should. And my wife knows that. I'm being very honest with you when I say that as a man. But sometimes I need to just shut up and listen. And that's also, most of the time, it's all she wants. But I was not strong enough to know until recently that I knew or know that I have to do something about some things that affect my relationship. And I'm being honest with you. I know that there are some things that I have to do in mine. I'm speaking about me. But one thing I've never done, I've never disrespected my wife like that. Those are just things that I wanted to just touch on. Because I'm speaking from the from what I see from the outside. I don't know if I'm really hitting on some things, honey, but I'm just speaking openly about what I see that these women, these pastors' wives deal with that go through things in the church. My heart goes out to that woman that's in Baltimore. My heart goes out to her. My heart goes out to all the first lady that suffer abuse. And I'm talking about a friend of ours, what she has to deal with as her husband is on the firing line.
Yeah.
What my wife has to deal with because I'm out there. I'm preaching and teaching the unadulterated word of God. And what she has to deal with on the backside of what some idiot and some fool is doing. They're not coming directly at me, but they're coming through her to try to get to me.
Exactly. And the bad part
he doesn't have the balls to come and call me directly.
No, that's my whole thing, because this guy, you know, you're snooping on social media trying to find people to pick on women, and I don't know how many women, and I'm going to ask you women, I'm going to tell you right now, if there is a man in any form of any denomination that all of a sudden picks you out the bunch to tell you who to listen to on YouTube or whatever, you know, a video network, you better do a background check to see what this guy's all about. Because they will get on there and pretend to be something and want to pick a fight with you in an argument, get you off to the side, and end up taking you in a different direction away from your stable ground and away from God. Because any man that seek out the women to pick on a woman and that you are married, why are you even talking to that woman? What's on your mind? So now the fool that is doing this, wife don't have a clue of what's really going on, but she's about to be enlightened. Because I'm tired of these men playing these little games. When you play these games, you damage other people's lives, you're stepping over boundaries, you're really dealing with some stuff. And the crazy part is, women, you need to step back and take a look at the situation, assess the situation. If
you know, Dr. Sanders, this particular person, this is the clincher. She was asked a question, if there would ever come a day that she would be happy. Now, her divorce had been final for at least 3 years or so. And I'm not divorced from you, so I wouldn't know the answer to that. But technically, she should have been further ahead in her healing process. But, you know, there are some good days and some bad days, but she should have been feeling the good ones already. Now, her husband still lived in the home with his new girlfriend and her three dogs, so on and so forth. But when I think about that, this person will never, ever be happy, probably. Never, ever be happy because, number one, she had an excuse around every corner, and she was not happy when she probably before she went into the relationship because there were other things that happened to her before then that she didn't get over. So so the first thing, unless she gets to a place of moving on, she has to, first of all, forgive her husband, realize that she stayed and God didn't make her do it or that, and wanted to be happy and experience the joy and peace. And until then, she has to have that conversation with God. And she can find her place in God, to where she can get peace, but she also has to go back and forgive the other things in order for her to move on. And that's right. Where the healing has to take place, because number one, that guy's gone. He's a footnote in your life now. Like I said, look, the man that got a new girlfriend, not the same one he was fooling around with, but got a new girlfriend and got three dogs.
You always be somebody new.
So
he,
in other words, he's moved on with his life. He's all right. He's all happy and everything. Go lucky and doing this and doing that. I know of a guy that, and you know him too, honey. Moved in with his stripper, married his stripper.
Yeah,
all
so
happy
did.
With his life.
Yeah. I'm glad they married because they both deserve each other.
Go over to people's house and put his feet under their table, put his big feet under their table.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, thank God the woman I know is happier now than she was then. Thank God.
My goodness, but that's the truth.
You know who I'm talking about. You know her well. I'm talking about you.
Exactly.
But anyhow.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
The thing is that that woman, you got to know yourself. You got to know that you do have value and that you have a sense of God. That's what I wanted to talk about. That's why Chronicles is very important. That's why God, spoke to me and dealt with my heart about the women that's out there that's abused like that. As a pastor, I said, wait a minute, I have to give my wife the authority and the latitude to put Chronicles in place as a form of ministry. And hopefully this can spread throughout the Church of God in Christ, because women need to know about the Chronicle and the journeys of other women that they're having in life, both alive and both some of them that's young and old and alive, because these women are struggling about things that we don't know. They've been hidden and put down. It's time to bring that stuff up to the surface.
Exactly, and that's the thing that...
Go ahead, honey. I'm a fan of
it. The thing that I... thanks, hon. I'm going to mute your mic out while you can still listen to it. The thing about it is that those women that are dealing with something, I want you to examine yourself. Examine the truth of what's going on in your life. Examine what is happening. I'm not telling you to leave your husband. I'm not telling you that, and I'm not telling you to stay. But you need to seek counseling and help so that you can do what you need to do and move forward. I don't want to see another woman have a stroke, an aneurysm, or a heart attack based on no man. I promise you, because it ain't worth it. I went through abuse. My former mother-in-law watched the mistress's child while he was messing with her and trying to get back with me. I've been through that. My dad was not in my life all the way because my dad fought my mother tooth and nail. They had a physical war of the roses, real relationship. While people at the church was concerned about me being spoiled and all that, I had to deal with functioning parents that had an addiction to cocaine, crack, heroin, alcohol, and cigarettes. An only child whose auntie took her under the wing to be able to survive mentally. And that's what I had to do. She kept me before God. My Aunt May kept me on my knees. My Aunt May made me listen to Dad Mason's prayer. And my Aunt May made me read the Bible. It is because of her as to where I am today. So women, wives, Let me help you. So now I'm going to flip this card. Mistresses, let me help you. Because I don't want you to think low of yourself. But when it's dealing with a married man, leave him alone. If he come to you, stab him. Because when he go home, he's going to the hospital. You got to have strength enough to know that this man is not going to treat you right. You are just another notch for his scorecard of booty that needs to be accomplished. I want you to listen to me. It doesn't pay to be a mistress. And you women that feel like you're with a preacher, I'm getting something. No, you're not. You know why? Because death and destruction and illness is coming your way. I'm constantly reminded of a story of a man that was married. This man that was married kept messing with this woman. Oh, they got involved with each other. I'm going to say this and I'm going to sign off. And he took this woman away to a hotel far out in the field where nobody can find them. I'm not talking about the Sybaris where you go have sex. The Sybaris is a place where you go have sex. Yeah, uh-huh. It's full of quiet, but no, it was a little hotel in the country road. And the man kept on. And while the man was in the bathroom taking care of his business, guess what happened? A snake crawled up into the bed of that woman. She had a stroke because she saw the snake. And the man came out. And when he came out, she was sick. The man couldn't do nothing to help her. Don't put yourself in a bed with a man where a snake is going to come up in your bedroom. These men tell more lies than it is that the law allows. They want to conquer. And mistresses, there is no fame in being a mistress because you have nothing to gain. Understand, if that man die or turn up dead, you ain't getting nothing. It's all going to the wife and the children. Leave the married men alone. If there's any men that told you different, you need to talk to me. Let me help you out. I dealt with a mistress and I broke her freaking nose. Do you understand me? Because I know what these mistresses do. And some men will make you a mistress by giving you a lie and making up a story that's not true to only oblige what they flesh desire. And wives, if you know your husband coming home and all of a sudden he's smelling different than what he left, you know where he'd have been. I'm sorry to help, but I'm closing out. Don't get caught in the bed with a snake. Because that snake's job is to destroy you. He's not your friend. Fairness. Women, do not continue to stay in a situation. Don't get help, counseling, therapy to find out what causes you to stay in these situations. And if you feel it's salvageable, then you get him in the counseling and you go together. But if he continue to do it, he don't want the marriage. He's got problems. You got to do what you got to do. Until then, listen to Nita Wilson with Keep Doing
It. I've been doing some thinking lately. And I know and believe that God still works miracles. Yet I'm so very, very grateful for what some call the simple things. I just want to take a moment here. This is my prayer. Listen.